You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. Well, now that we are over episode 100.
You don't do the boring intro. What was the rest of it? You haven't memorized, don't you? The New Church is your online hub for church multiplication. I even have memorized.
See, you know it.
Because I've had to listen to it for 100 times.
What do you think from episode 100 to 200, you do the intro? No. And I get to interrupt you.
Are we going to go to 200 episodes? I thought we were done. I thought it was 100 and we're done.
Is that what's in your contract?
Last episode. Exactly. Peace out, people. Peace out. Love you.
Drop the mic.
Exactly.
How do you feel? This is pretty substantial that we've gotten to 101 episodes now.
I'm very thankful for all the church planners we've helped. I'm a little worn out sitting in a room with you for 100 podcasts.
But I've learned a lot. Yes. I've learned a lot from, soaking in the wisdom of your beard.
Wow, please don't touch my beard ever again.
How unsanitary beards are?
Oh, that's, no, mine's not, I sanitize it. This is sanitized for my protection.
It?
I use beard oil. So sanitize and beard oil. Listen, one day when you're old enough to actually grow facial hair, then you can make fun of me.
All right. Well, episode 101, and our friend Tim Catchum, who is actually up on the north side of Nashville now, I believe it's Clarksville Planting, he has sent a question in, so let's listen in.
What are some of the key indicators that let you know your church is ready to start another church?
All right.
I'd say one of the key indicators is you're in a noisy room when you send in questions to the newchurches.com podcast.
Hey, he sent one in. We didn't select him for episode 99 or 100.
We didn't select him?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
He's 101.
Oh, wow. That's a little sad.
And you know what?
Bad.
Rob Clark. Yeah, submitted a question too.
Did he really?
And he didn't get selected.
No,
for 99
dude,
or 100.
Dude, he's like we're like his personal coach.
We are.
We like his personal. I think he's like 4 of the 100 have been Rob Clark. Anyway, so I think there are a lot of things that can sort of indicate that. I think partly you shouldn't assume that a church will be ready. You should get a church ready.
Yeah, you're right.
And so
if you hope to get ready, you'll never get
exactly,
ready.
Exactly. Yeah. There has to be an intentionality, I think, that's there. But let me say that I do think that it's wise and prudent to look for some signs of that, mm-hmm. right? So some of them obvious ones are you're out of space. If you're out of space, you might want to think about starting a new church and connect accordingly. Second thing is if there's a group of people coming from a nearby community that would be better served and better, more effective on mission if they had a church in their context, And so I think that would be a key thing. Third is sometimes you have someone in your church who's gifted, a pastor that God's calling you to send out and to go out and be a part of the church, a church plant. I think that's key. So sometimes there's leadership or individuals need to be sent out. So those are some of the three more obvious ones. What else would you add?
Yeah, well, I would say there are, and we write about this in Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow, that you can download for free at newchurches.com. But what we actually, in our research, because there's things that we know about churches that multiply. But as we looked at our research, we discovered there are actually a few practices of churches that did multiply in their first 5 years of existence. The first one was the importance of embracing a kingdom vision, right? So, Tim, what does it look like for you to continually cast a vision that is beyond your church, beyond just planting another church, but about the kingdom of God in your community, about reaching your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So to embrace that kingdom and vision is an important thing. The next one is to actually prepare. Right. So do you have a system? Do you have a pipeline for future church planters where it's not just about even the end of the goal being a church planter, but do you have a pipeline to develop leaders so that your volunteers are becoming leaders and your leaders are becoming coaches and your coaches are becoming directors of ministry areas and those people are possibly discerning a call to ministry, maybe becoming on staff or being sent out or being your next church planter. So do you have ways to prepare that? Another thing after that is, are you creating that culture where you're intentionally evangelizing, where you're loving the lost, where the people in your church, where you're hearing organic stories of groups missionally engaging into their neighborhoods at their own initiative? right? And not even one that you have said, hey, I will organize for you, but they're doing that. And are they doing that consistently in an area? So those are just a few ideas that not only are practices of churches that multiply, but things, levers that you can actually pull, things that you can actually do to begin moving towards that end.
Yeah, I think that's key. Now, levers is a good way to put it. So we've talked about things to look for. Let's talk about things to do to get there. So I think casting a vision, you know, I think communicating to the church consistently about this. I think helping the church think of itself as a church planning church. Yeah. I mean, these are all things that.
And casting that vision on the first weekend and regularly on a consistent basis actually affected multiplying churches.
Yeah, that's right. So at our last church I just left, you know, a few months ago, on the very first Sunday, you know, we had some preview services, so I shouldn't say it was the very first Sunday, but the first Sunday of weekly worship, the grand opening, if you will, the launch service. We actually, first of all, we took 100% of the offering, said it's going to go for our first church plant. We said we're setting aside 7% of our giving to direct church planning, 10% to our kind of, we have this cooperative giving thing in our denomination, 3% to our local association or district, but 7%. So we told them up front, 20% of you guys going out of the church from the beginning, 7% to a direct church plant. We're a church planting church. So We got the church pregnant sooner.
That's good.
By casting that vision earlier. I think that's key. So I think he's asking a great question because I mean, but my guess is even that mindset says he's got a mindset of church planning. Mm-hmm. I think the vast majority of people don't have a mindset towards church planning. And part of getting there is actually changing the mindset.
Yeah, because you're going to have people in your congregation who you preach the kingdom to them and they're going to be all about it. But when you share, if you just share about planting another church without having them embrace that broader kingdom vision, it's just going to feel like a disruption to them, right? It's the same thing for small groups. What is it? Why is it so hard for small groups to multiply? It's because it's a disruption, right? And especially if the vision of the small group, the reason that everyone joined that small group and the vision that you've been proclaiming in your church is that life is better in community. It's good to have, you know, to grow together with other people. And if that's the vision that you preached and why people join your small groups, no wonder they're not going to want to multiply.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you're disrupting what they've finally been able to achieve.
That's good word.
Which is why they're now growing.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the next point, that importance of discipleship, right? The people in your congregation, are they disciple makers? Right. We recently had Robert Coleman. We were able to do an interview with him, a webinar with him.
You speak his name without the appropriate.
Dr. Robert Coleman.
Now, one day you'll be the Daniel M. Right. Or the Ed Stetzer. Right now we're just Ed Stetzer and Daniel M. That was the Dr. Robert Coleman.
Well, he was. Yeah. He is the Dr.
Yeah, he was. Robert. He's still with us.
And, you know, as we talked to him, it was what I don't know what you took out of that interview, Ed, but the thing that just glared at me in every question that he answered was the simplicity of it all.
It was. I mean, he's a professor at Gordon Conwell and all sorts of stuff. I'm like, this should be harder. But he's like, no, it's just more about doing than about making it complex. That, and he preached the whole time he preached.
There were some questions where he was like old school, fiery. Yeah, like he was so loud.
I was ready to start playing the music and seeing if we could get right with the Lord. So people really need to listen to that. And they need to listen to that. It's a good interview.
It is. So it really is a simple question. Do your congregants, are they discipled and do they know how to disciple? Right? Do they know how to share the gospel with someone else? Right? It's not just about bringing someone on their arm to church, but do they know how to, whether it be through the four spiritual laws, the life conversation guide or whatever, the bridge and, you know, whatever means that you have, are they able to do that? I mean, that's one of those. And I mean, once again, we see this in our research time and time again, developing other leaders. So getting people into membership, having leadership training courses for your future church planters, moving people, moving your church more towards self-sufficiency. I mean, all these things are important factors that you need to take into consideration in order to get ready to plant.
Good word, Daniel. And again, thanks for joining us on the newchurches.com podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, I like that. You said podcast.
Podcast. I did sort of stumble over
it. Is that a New Yorker thing?
You got a problem with that. I'm not a New Yorker anymore. I am a Chicagoan.
You can dish it, but you can't take it?
I am, yeah. Wow. Wow. Listen, Canada. I don't want to hear it.
I like that. Canada.
That's what I'm going to call you. You call me New York. But really, I'm a Chicagoan now.
Yes,
Second City. By the way, quiz, why is it called Second City?
It's the Windy City.
No, but it's called the Second City. Why? Anybody
because
know?
It had the second NHL team? Or?
No, dude. Well, you know what everyone assumes because it's like it's behind New York City, but it's not true. It's Second City because it's the Chicago Fire burned down the first one.
Oh.
You know why it's called the Windy City?
Yeah, because of shady politicians.
Good. That's right. With a lot of hot air. That's right. So you're exactly right. Not because of the wind. It's a good word. All right, good. We're peace out. We'll see you next time.